We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. Monica Lovell's over running the iPad, and our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Rick Spain. How are you this morning?
I am doing wonderful, I think. Yes.
So far?
Yeah. No, we're doing great. Yeah.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to ourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. We do record in two parts, and we'll get that uploaded to the website shortly after the program has ended. It is Thursday, so today we will have a word from Pastor Dwight with the Truth Broadcast. Do what? The title is Respond. Pastor Dwight will not be in the building. However, after the program's ended, we will reset the iPad and come back on Facebook. If you'd like an entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of June, our book this month is Hard Sayings, Reconciling the Cost of Discipleship and the American Dream by Joshua West. Think I've covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
I just want to do a little round of applause.
Oh, thank you. I'm getting it down.
Yes, you are. She's awesome. Okay. Father, we love you and we bless you. Thank you for today, Lord God. Thank you for the message. Thank you, Lord God, Holy Spirit, for you being the influencing force. Thank you, Lord. Open our eyes and our ears. Touch our hearts that we might receive and be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just to... little disclaimer, you know, we have to have our little excuses before we get started. Mm-hmm. I wrote this out and I haven't gone over it. So if I stumble a little bit, forgive me, but the Holy Spirit will bring it all together. So now let us get the spectacles on and we'll get started. I want to start in the scriptures in Psalms 103. And we're going to begin in verse 6, and we're going to read several verses here. So I want to, I'm going to put that down here. Okay. So the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He's mindful that we are the dust. We are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind is passed over, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To those who keep his covenant and who remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereign rules over all. You know something I'm just noticed when I was, I actually kind of noticed it, but it really jumped out at me as we were reading this, that, you know, it talks about the Lord's compassion. It talks about the Lord's protection. And it talk, you know, it talks about his loving kindness, and it to a particular group of people, and that group of people are the ones who fear him. Okay, over in Hebrews chapter 3, and I want to read verse 4, and we may get back to this later. However it works, we trust Holy Spirit. Hebrews 3, chapter 4, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. So, I'm just going to pull from that, and obviously, Rick Spain keeps up with stuff. You know, and it's just not, you know, I spend my time with the Lord. I try to, you know, try to keep him number one in everything. And I want you to know that I try, because I don't care how hard we try, we still fall short sometimes. We need to realize that, you know, because God realizes it. You know, I was writing an article the other day, and I made the comment that God is not focusing on our wrongs. He's focusing on what Jesus did right. Mm-hmm. Remember this, you got that's a word for somebody. You know, he's not focusing on your wrong. He's focusing on what Jesus did right. And so that's something that we need to remember. You know, his eyes are on Jesus. You know, and everything that we enjoy and benefit with God is through what Jesus paid for. Now, that's extra. That wasn't part of the lesson, but I want to get into what we want to talk about today. You know, I want to get into the condition of our world. And the condition of our world is what I call the slow, methodic removal of God. When you look and look at the countering effect and the people that are behind it, you've got to dig a little bit deeper and see what are they saying, because you know a lot of what they say sounds good. Mm-hmm. And you know, the other thing is there is a lot of what you call gaslighting, which, you know, when that term first came out, I didn't know what it meant. But, you know, gaslighting is where you find you're in relationship with the individual, and you make the individual feel guilty for what you did. Mm-hmm. Lot of gaslighting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's like, you know, with Alphabet group. You know who the alphabet group is, don't you? Yeah, the alphabet group. It's because every time you turn around, they add another letter to it. So we just call them the alphabet group. Mm-hmm. You know, and so no disrespect to the person, but to what is being promoted, that it's anti-biblical, it's against God. The key thought is that it is an attempt to remove God, every aspect. This has been going on since the beginning. It began with Eve and the serpent. The serpent comes to Eve and he says, didn't God say you could eat any of the fruit on the trees? No, we can't eat that fruit that's on the knowledge of good and evil. That tree, no, we can't eat that. Well, and then he goes in and he says, Well, the reason he doesn't want you to eat that is because when you do, you're going to be like God. Mm-hmm. And you're going to know all things. And so the first attack was to the authority and the character of God. That was the first attack. And so, and this is what's going on right now, guys. It's happening right here in our midst. You know, and what we are witnessing and experiencing, it may seem like it's an attack on us, but it's not an attack on us. It's an attack on him. Mm-hmm. And so the next point I want, and I'm just going to go real quick over this. The next point in history of man, we see in the time of Noah, and it said that the whole world was filled with evil. And God looks down, he says, you know, we got to eradicate this. Let's wipe it off. You know, but Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And so when we look at evil, what is evil? You know, we can all have a lot of definitions to what evil is. I've got a short definition. Evil is God's creation without God. That's what it is. And so when the reference was that the whole world was filled with evil, what God was referring to, they're trying to take me out of the equation, and it don't work. You know, and so the whole earth was filled with evil. You know, jump way forward, and we go to what they call the Age of Enlightenment. In the Age of Enlightenment, this is when science was really being pushed. And it was, you know, there were so many discoveries. Astronomy and biology and medical, you know, all the science, creation even. You know, this was all being brought forth, and science was bringing out some truths, some proofs to whatever the situation is that we were encountering. So, you know, it's interesting, you know, we were talking earlier that, you know, we don't learn in the easy places. We don't grow in the easy places. We grow in the hard places. And this is interesting because, you know, we had the bubonic plague. We had a lot of challenges to our existence. And science rose up to fill the need. And so this is where the problem and the answer is, because God rose up a lot of biblically minded people, Sir Isaac Newton, and that's my brain fails me to remember all the Christians that rose up, but Sir Isaac Newton was, you know, he was a theologian as well as a scientist. So there was a lot of God's people that rose up in this. But then there became an argument between science and God. So science was trying to disprove God. And so, and then it's kind of like where we are today, where we're looking at the separation of church and state. That was never in the intention. Never in the original intention. And science and God was never meant to be separated. There's nothing that science will discover that isn't connected to God. Nothing. God created science. He created all this stuff. So if you use something that he created to disprove him, what are you doing? A lot of talking. That's what you're doing, a lot of talking. Because you can't use what he created to disprove him. You know, I don't have an example for that, but that's the thought. So in the Age of Enlightenment, we had science rising up. And what's it doing? Slow, methodic removal of God. The next area that I want to talk about is when communism began to rise up. Socialism, communism. And what was it that they wanted to do? Remove religion completely. Mm-hmm. If it, you know, God's not going to fix this, we're going to fix it. You know, and so, I mean, when you look over in the former Soviet Union, what they did is when communism was rising, they totally shut down churches. And anybody that wanted God as a part of their life, well, they were either executed or they're sent off to Siberia or work camp or somewhere, you know. So this is what was going on during this time. Take God out of the picture. Once again, you know, so we get into the American experience, and this country was founded on the principles of God. It was based on covenant that the founders initiated with the creator of the universe. And so, you know, as we having problems? Okay. All right. So anyway, you know, we see that as time began to move forward, there's a lot of instances where an individual that gained fame would rise up and would come with science or with doctrine, with ideas that we don't need God. You know, and so then we get into the 20th century, and early in the 20th century, there was a man named John Dewey. And what John Dewey, he was what the father of modern education, that's his title, father of modern education. Well, his main emphasis was to take God completely out of all teaching curriculum. This was the forerunner of what we experience today in the separation of church and state. And so then we get into the 60s, and Madeline Murray O'Hare drew a claim because of her opposition of the Bible being spoken in school. And so this is where separation really kicked into high gear. And so we see what's happened in America in this time that we've been experiencing now. If you want to know that what's being taught in elementary and secondary schools today, this began 50 years ago, folks. You know, even further than that, I'd say even 70 years ago. In the higher education in the 50s, this is when it started infiltrating our colleges and universities. And so what is termed as education began to find a different form in what you call indoctrination. And so in this indoctrination, it was more about how people feel than it was about actual facts and truths. Because, once again, just as the scientists of old tried to disprove God by creation, what the educational system's doing today, and even back then, is they're trying to re-indoctrinate us, to change our thoughts. And so what we're experiencing today is these people that have been trained in the colleges and universities, and what are they doing? They're imposing what they've learned. So we're in a steady, steady decline. So what is all this about? Is this did man just come up with all this, or was it a forerunner before man? I'm going to tell you, what we're living in now and what we're experiencing in our world was a plan that was formulated, I believe, before man was created. And that plan is what I call Lucifer's plan. Okay, so you see, we look over in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 37, I believe, 38, I can't remember, right there somewhere in Ezekiel. And what, you know, the God is talking to Lucifer, and he's saying in Isaiah, it's knowing, I'm not going to go there, sorry. What the Lord is saying is the faults found in Lucifer. And the number one fault, the cause of his downfall, was one fault, and it's called pride. And so if you look at how the systems of this world are running today, this is Lucifer's plan. That is how he rules this world. So when you think about it, how can Lucifer rule this world? He can't without our help. But the way he does it is with the information, with, you know, recognizing ourselves as God, basically, is what it is. Because, see, that's what Lucifer did. He said, I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to raise my throne above the thrones of heaven. You know, and so this is what we're seeing in our world today. So what the world in that system is once again trying to dethrone God, which is impossible. Absolutely impossible. So what makes this system work? Now remember, what we're talking about this morning is the builder. Who's the builder? God is the builder. Yeah, Jesus is in the Godhead, yes. So, yes, God and Jesus was the one that God used to create all things. Through him were all things created. So, what makes the system work? So, Edmund Burke is credited with this saying, the only thing for the triumph of evil is for good men or good women to do nothing. What makes the system work? I'm pausing for a reason there. What makes the system work? You know, it's interesting. I was listening on the radio, and they had a question over in England. This is years ago. And the question was, why is our world so messed up? And it was a commentary, you know, and they wanted feedback on this. They wanted people to send in their opinions of why this world is messed up. So this was way back there. And G.K. Chesterton, one of the great men of God of old, especially in that part of the world, you know, he wrote a response to that. And the response was, dear editor, the reason why the world is so messed up is because of me. And, you know, when we start pointing our fingers and saying, you know, it's their fault. It's, you know, if they wouldn't have done this, or, you know, look what they're promoting and this and that. If we don't take this home and say, what is going to make this thing better? So, you know, in all this that's going on, obviously, this is, we, the church, are involved. You know, here we are. We've got the world, we got the church. There's a definitely a distinction between the two. You know, it's like I've said several times, even on this program, is the reason the world is in the condition it is in is not the world's fault. And this is something we really got to grab hold of, folks. It's not the world. The world's going to do what the world knows to do. That's what they're going to do. So who is the fault in this? It's not God's fault. That's right. It's the church. The church, the reason we are, especially in America, in the position we're in, is not because anyone else, we can lay the blame at our own feet. This is what we have allowed. You know, it's interesting when COVID hit, you know, and golly, everything's shutting down, and I'm talking to the wife, and I said, this is a bad idea. We're going to be paying for this for years to come. And now we're seeing the evidence of it. I mean, this is the very beginning. You know, so in the right at the start, I think, you know, this is Rick Spain's opinion. Yes, we need to just shut down. We need to figure this stuff out. You know, of course, we had a lot of people with ill interest that were leading us, you know, and telling us this is what this is and this is what we got to do about it. And so effectively what they've done is they shut down America. They actually shut down the world. But, you know, when you shut down America, you're basically shutting the world down because this is where all commerce, all money, everything runs through America. Now, will it be that way forever? I don't think so. No, but anyway, neither here nor there. What we see, what COVID did is it gave us an opportunity to sit and think. And we started recognizing the wrongs, these things that we were so busy with life that, you know what, we just didn't even recognize it. We didn't know that there were that many evil people in this world. And the other thing that was really, really brought to the forefront is what was the motivating factor in all this, and it still is. And it has been from the beginning. Two things, money and power. Money and power. If you get to the root of the money and the power, you can disarm the system. I'm telling you. So, you know, this boycott with Target and the Bud Light, you know, obviously we're not going to drink Bud Light, you know. I mean, if it's up to me, I'm going to drink it full strength. No, I'm kidding. No, but you know what's going on is, you know, we're boycotting and we're saying, no, we're not going to spend money. You know, this is what we've got to do, folks. Now, this is not, I wasn't planning on talking about it, but, you know, this is something we can do on a practical level. You know, we don't want our money going to these efforts. You know, and some of the stuff, I was talking to my wife, Heather, and talking to her about what they're promoting and what they're, that Disney Channel is going to have a new series on, I think it's a teenage girl that's been impregnated by the devil. Yeah. New series, Disney Plus. Okay, so I told Heather about that. Well, she's talking to me last night. We're hooked into Hulu, you know, because anymore, you know, the Dish and the DirecTV, that's kind of going down, and we got all these platforms, Hulu and whatever, all, you know, yeah. Well, Hulu, you know who owns Hulu? Disney. Disney owns Hulu. And so Disney owns ABC, ESPN. they own this stuff, you know. And so it was like one person I heard say that if we boycotted everything, we wouldn't be able to drive. We wouldn't, you know, we would be severely limited, you know, to the point of, you know, we can't function in this on this earth because of all that we boycott. So what we want to do, but anyway, Heather said, you know, I want to change our whatever provider, whatever you want to call it. And I thought, well, you know, yeah, probably a good idea. If the point being is you need to focus. Get a focus on one thing, like what's been going on with Target. Now, I hate it for the employees. I hate it, you know, because a lot of those are innocent. But we have got to make a stand, folks. Got to make a stand. You know, and so anyway, in this COVID, it gave us what you call a wake up call. And I think this is a time to take a short break.
Okay, we have a few prayer requests this morning. The first one, Eli Warren, who was injured in the Wynnewood refinery fire. His wife asked for specific prayers. His vitals and labs to stabilize. Grafts to be successful and infection free. And him to continue resting peacefully. And then prayers for the family of, I hope I say this name right, Marita Warnum, who went to her final resting place, heaven. And then prayers for the Underwood family, my neighbor and friend Brandon, who passed away a year ago on the 10th. Today's his birthday, and they're just having some, you know, it's still pretty raw for them. So, and then Miss Mandy, hi Mandy, we love you. Ask us to pray for her friend who has to travel for court in the morning over her children.
Well, we're going to do this. Father, we love you. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you that you are God and that you are a healing God. Father, we lift up Eli to you, Lord God, and all the trauma that he's faced. I pray, Father, that you touch him in his mind. Touch him in his mind, Lord God, that this trauma not be a dictator to his life. Father, I thank you that you are healing his body, that the properties you put in that body, that it's doing what it's designed to do. I ask you, Lord God, for an expediency in the process. We thank you for that, Lord God. And I just pray, Father, that the labs and the vitals, Lord God, that they would begin to stabilize in Jesus' name. Lord God, we pray that you would give him the peace and the rest that he needs. We thank you for it. Father, I lift up the family to you, and I pray that what's being lost in Eli's absence, Lord God, that you would fill it up. Fill it up with your presence and provision. And Lord, we do thank you for that. Thank you, Lord God. Pray for the family of Marita's family, Lord God. We just speak comfort over them in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Any conflict in the family, I pray concerning that, Lord God, that there would be peace. I pray, Father, that you would raise up a leader in that family that would help to referee, to help to navigate through the tough places. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do pray for Brandon's family, and our memories do have an effect on us, Lord God. Father, I pray in the place of the memory of the loss, that you would bring back the memories of good, Lord God. The good experiences, the recognitions of what Brandon did right in life, Lord God. And we thank you for your peace. We give you praise, Lord God. And Lord, we pray for Mandy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, and we speak over this journey, Lord God, that it would not only be safe, but that it would be filled with your presence. I pray, Lord God, that you speak to them as they travel. Thank you, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, for the purpose of what they're going for, Lord God, that your hand's upon that too. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ministries is located at 616.